Good evening. This is the 30th of August, 2018. It's 9:03 Eastern Time, and this is the discussion call. So anyone is able to talk. Please be nice to each other and try not to step on each other. But anyone who wants to talk can talk about whatever they want. This meeting goes until about 10-ish. So I turn the floor over to y'all. Go ahead. All right, I'm going to have to step in here. You shouldn't cover everybody talking at the same time like that. Only one person. So that first person, what would you like to talk about? Please go ahead. Are you going to make me start the conversation?
Eric, this is Winthrop from Tennessee. My question is...
yes, sir, Winthrop.
The audio that you had on the ham radio, do we still have access to all those recordings?
Yes. You go to the communications or emergency preparedness page, and you go to the ham radio. Okay. And there's a thing about being prepared in an emergency with a ham radio. At the bottom of that page are all of the ones that I did.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Took about a year and a half to go through all those.
Yeah.
You're welcome to them. Thank you for asking.
I enjoyed that. I yield.
Okay, is there anything else you want to talk about? Anybody? Does anybody want to talk about QAnon? Does anybody know what QAnon is?
Why don't you tell us?
Well, QAnon is supposedly somebody who has a Q security clearance and works closely with the president. And he's been posting little tidbits of information ever since late October. So if, I don't want to get into it unless somebody really wants to. But there were some satellites. I would appreciate it if every one of you could do me a favor. And it might, Q has said that it shut down some of the deep state satellites, where the different mainstream media outlets get their talking points. Just take a look tomorrow and see if the channels that you normally listen to, jot down what their main thrust is, and then if you go to other channels that you might listen to, see if they're different at all. And I would like to know, maybe this week, next time this week, if there was any change this week. Have any of y'all ever seen the mainstream media and how, no matter which channel you turn it to, that they're talking the same talking points? Has anybody else noticed that? Anybody can unmute themselves. Go ahead.
I don't watch TV much, but I do watch my fair share of YouTube. There are people out there that have done a collage of all the mainstream news medias and just playing them simultaneously one after the other, and they're all, as you say, repeating the same thing. Most of us are aware that the media has been bought and we have been sold. Most of us understand that, you know, we're a corporation, you know, we're an inc. We're not a country. Learning how to separate ourselves from that and understanding that we're natural beings and we're not the birth certificate that they created that they're using to extort money from us illegally. Understanding the truth of that is a pretty good thing. I mean, that's what our liberty is it not?
Yes, absolutely.
We're about in the same boat today as they were in 1871 in England. The only thing is we're not in labor camps.
If you really
labor
go into
camps in England, I didn't know about that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wanted to say if you're going to understand that, you're going to have to study law considerably, because the law and language has been used to deceive Americans, and most Americans in this country don't have a clue what has been done to them.
I believe that the governors of each of the states have the authority to go back and null and void what they've done with the 13th and the 14th Amendment back in 1865. I mean, that's when they brought us to United States, Inc. under international law, correct?
Well, I'm not so sure that the states can do anything. I think all of the states have done sold out to the United States Federal Corporation as far as the powers of the state go. I think they've completely sold the people out.
That's why the majority of the people that are operating in the state house are power attorneys, correct?
Well, here's the thing. I wrote to Commissioner of Revenue some time ago, no response. I wrote to Treasurer, no response. I wrote to court twice, no response. I filed a judicial complaint against a judge. They didn't want to deal with it. I filed a criminal complaint with the U.S. Attorney General. No response 5 months later. I'm working right now to try to get an answer to a question from the clerk of the court, the U.S. District Court in the District of Columbia. And I'm going to have to charge her with injuries because she's refusing to provide me information that she has. So when you write these people, what you're going to get is no response. So you end up having to write them several times, send them a notice once or twice, and then you send a notice of default. And sooner or later, you're going to have to file a lawsuit against these people to get anything done. That's just the way it is.
Well, under discovery, if they have information that's related to a legal case to you, they have no choice than to give it to you.
The question I asked this clerk of the court, I said, does the U.S. District Court in the District of Columbia have jurisdiction over the IRS? Now, I know for a fact they have the answer. I know for a fact they have given that answer to other people. But some of the people said that they have had to write as many as 6 times to get an answer. Well, I consider that an injury. When the clerk of a court has a duty and a responsibility to the public, and I think some of these people need to begin to challenge some of these people like that on their responsibilities and duties. That's what we need. And one of the things, one reason I got on this call tonight, I've been wanting to find out about the common law grand jury and the common law jury. It's something I'm interested in. I'd like to see that happen all over this country.
Well, it's possible to happen, but what it takes is just going to take, you know, 4 people in each county to take a civics course, to get educated, to understand what it is that the organization is trying to do. And once that's accomplished, we just take it over. But I mean, it's getting people been drinking this Kool-Aid for so long that, you know, they can't break out of the shell. I mean, they're just so conditioned. I mean, J. Edgar Hoover said that they lied to us so well that we don't believe the truth.
Well, what they've done, they've deceived the people into consent. That's what they've done. The people have consented.
Exactly. And that's where the fraud's at as well.
And you know what? You can't hardly tell people about it.
They're just too far gone. They're too far gone. And Barack Obama said that, yeah, the people have the right to redress their grievances, but it doesn't say that we have to answer them either. And those are Barack Obama's words. Those are his words. I mean, he's a constitutional scholar. I mean, trust me, he's twisted this thing every which way he can. And it doesn't say what the Constitution can't do on your behalf. And that's how he got away with a lot of the things he did.
Well, you know what? The Supreme Court said that the U.S. Attorney General is the only man in the country that really stands between the people of the state and the machinery of the United States Federal Corporation. Well, like I said, I sent a complaint, a criminal complaint against a judge 5 months ago, and the U.S. Attorney General hasn't even acknowledged that I sent it. So, I mean, this is the kind of nonsense we're dealing with.
If they acknowledge it, if they're acknowledging it, they're admitting guilt. So by default, they can't acknowledge it, okay? I mean, that's how it lies.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Here's the problem with that. Acquiescence, silence is acquiescence in the law. When you make a claim, a statement, and it is not rebutted, it stands as true in the law. So when they do not respond to you, it's like when I wrote the Commissioner of Revenue, she never responded to me. So I wrote her back and I told her, I said, you know, silence is acquiescence in the law, and claims unrebutted stand as true. And I said, if there is no lawful authority for what you have done to me and my property, then I can only presume that fraud has been committed against me and caused me considerable injuries during my lifetime.
Now, you need to take that letter that you sent to her, and you need to go file it in your local courthouse. Because right now it's just a letter. It's just a piece of communication between you and them. It's not a legal document until you go and file that in paper. I mean, it may be an affidavit, but, I mean, it's not a legal document until you go file it in the courthouse. It's just a piece of evidence, if there's a
court
case.
That's true unless I take her to court
file the paper in court.
Yeah, but eventually I probably would have to take her to court and have her put on a witness stand and let her read the certified letters that I've sent her into the court records. What I'd really like to do in front of a common law jury is what I'd really like.
Have you taken the civics course, the NLA office?
The only thing I've done thus far, I've taken the dictionary law course. I've taken that. I've just got into looking at the website, and I think there's a couple of things there that I need to take next.
Yeah, well, you know, if you haven't taken, you need to take the Constitution course.
Well, I've studied the organic laws a great deal, but I will take that.
These courses are the fundamentals of understanding what it is that we're doing as National Liberty Alliance, really. Take the Constitution course and then take the civics course.
Okay.
The civics course is what's really going to open up your eyes. I mean, you need to hold on to your seat for that one.
Well, I've studied quite a bit of the Constitution and the other organic laws of the United States of America.
But I'm sure
there's going to be something in there that will help me quite a bit.
This will give you the knowledge that you need in order to become a grand jury administrator in any county in the United States.
Basically,
what we're doing right now is we're doing what our founding fathers did before the Revolutionary War. Okay? We're just shadowing our court system, preparing ourselves to take our station and assume our duties when we kick their ass out.
Well, that sounds good. I like that idea.
It took them 16 years.
Because, you know, the reality of things is the way it stands now, we're being ruled by criminals and traitors.
Well, because we're operating under international law. The District of Columbia is not in the United States. It's a foreign entity.
Excuse me, I'm gonna have to step away. I got an important call.
Sure. That's fine. You come on back. I'll yield.
Hello. Well, I want to encourage you, Mike. Hang on just a second, Crystal. I just want to say one fast thing. Please don't go away. Mike, I want to encourage you to take the civics course and especially the Constitution course at the NLA. We've got another course coming up, the Consent of the Governed, and that's going to open up a whole vista of things that you can do. So I yield.
Okay, I appreciate that. I'll look into that. I'm going to have to leave you all right now. I'm involved with some things I need to take care of. But listen, I'll try to get back on the next call you have, and I will go ahead and check into those things on the website. I appreciate
Monday
what
night.
You do.
Okay, and
okay.
You can always listen to the recording, too.
Okay, that sounds great. I'll do that. Can you download it?
Yes,
you can.
Okay,
and
good
deal. I'll have it up just a few minutes after this call finishes.
Okay, y'all have a good night, and I'll catch you later on.
Hello.
Hi, Crystal. Floor is yours, unless somebody else says anything. Go ahead.
Is anybody? Was I next? I didn't know. I had to check. Okay. Well, what happened today? I received a new letter from another group of attorneys, and now they're going after me, and they want to appeal to take my house again. So I sent them the letter, I do not accept, clause, and I faxed it back to them with that foreign form of 1938, and also the executive order, and I did that cover sheet, and I signed, put all their names, and I wrote the attorney, chief attorney on each one for the city or the town. Then I wrote the chief clerk.
Can you speak up, please?
What I wrote was I wrote the response when I did that form, that 1938. I sent that back to the chief attorney of the city and of the town. I sent it back to the chief clerk of each city and town. I sent it back to the attorneys. And everything I wrote, E-T-A-L. And also, and when it says by who, so I wrote by, colon, my name, comma, agent. And I just got to take care of a few more things tomorrow. Again, I said, this is unbelievable what is happening here. But what I found out, and they put on the records, now they're going after me for back taxes and the WPCA. Well, all my taxes, everything is paid up in current. You know, and like we could pay ours in quarterly, which my next quarter, my next quarter is due October 1. And so I said, I cannot believe what these nuts are doing. So I also, there was something, I guess, who was it I mentioned last night? I need to file a discharge. And I would like to also file a lawsuit again at them. Now there's another new judge that's on my paperwork. I said, I never even heard of this guy here. So I got to send another one off for him tomorrow. I mean, this is unbelievable what's happening. Also, before I forget, this morning on NBC, it was on Channel 68 here, but it's a spinoff channel of NBC. Anyways, they had, they were talking about the attorneys, and they were more or less saying how inconsistent and corrupted a lot of these attorneys are. Now that they are taking the Fifth, they're asking to be pardoned, or what is that called when they are pardoned? I can't think of the word right now.
Acquitted?
No, it's, as a matter of fact, it's Trump's family attorney from the 70s, who was also his father's attorney, and I guess he's talking, but they're giving him, like, immunity or something. What is the word I'm looking for? I can't. Hello? Like they're pardoning him if he...
I'm...
Clemency.
What is it called?
Clemency?
It's something like that, but they used another terminology on it. Immunity? Is that it?
Yeah, it could be immunity,
okay,
too.
Yeah, that's one. That's one, yeah.
Okay, I think that's what the word they used this morning. They said they're going to give him immunity for him so that he can cooperate, so he won't go to jail or whatever. And they said, well, I guess they were talking about different ones that are in Congress. They go, I didn't realize he was an attorney, so how are they making the laws and breaking the laws? So I said, wow, good question, you know, because it's all conflict of interest. You're making the laws, you're breaking the laws, you know. And then I guess with Giuliani, or whatever, he was the former mayor of New York, and he was talking about lie is a lie, but it's not really a lie, or whatever the case is. They're like, it's just crazy. It's what they're all doing and how they're getting away with it. They make the laws, they break the laws, and it's just like, where do the people stand? And it's just like nobody believes any of them anymore. And it's just like with the Pope and the pedophiles, and I mean, it's just unbelievable what's happening. This is really a sick world, what we got running things. And then they want to know why people are going through all that they're going through. And all these people that are being put out their homes, just in one county I mentioned last night, just in Hartford, that's the capital, over 42% of the people lost their homes. In the Fairfield County, over 70,000 people lost their homes. People are dying. They're breaking up families. Children are being placed in foster care, and they're paying the foster parents almost $4,000 to $5,000. I said, well, why don't they just give the money to the people and stop tearing their homes and, you know, about breaking up the families. And another big problem here, they, when they put the people up their houses, and now the homes are left vacant for a few years now, pipes are bursting and what have you, and then they turn around and say the people abandoned their property. I mean, this greediness, it's horrifying what's happening, you know? And, I mean, it's like in all the neighborhoods, and it's like any time the people are moving in, and we're a few of us, we have been observing this. It's like, wow, look how long these people are staying here. They're not even here for 2 years, 3 years before they're being put out. This is a nightmare. And we're also going to try to get the televised again this week, as I said. I mean, I've been just ripping and running, and but I want to get back to whoever's in this area so we can get together, so we can get this, get the media up here again. And also, it was blown out on YouTube. So we're going to try to get other TV stations, the other sister stations here on the next one, you know, because they said enough is enough with this all. And that's all basically I have to say. Any input? What that, you know?
Yeah, what she was describing sounded like what they were doing in England in 1871 to the people over there.
It's awful. It is absolutely awful. I saw another horrifying thing this past week in New York because of the manholes. You know, I guess after 9/11 and stuff like that, everything, nobody does their job anymore. Everybody wants a title, and you got all these fake positions. They just had this woman on TV. She was a fake dentist. Another one was a fake so-called, she had her social a degree in, I guess, business administration and lied and made a fake diploma. So there's so many people walking around with fake titles, doctors, nurses, dentists, teachers, and all that. And because they do these online, but they have other people taking the test. And I said, this is a very frightening situation when you got so people that are supposed to have these degrees, but they don't, they're clueless on their job. And that's a really a bad nightmare that's what's going on. You know, and, you know, as I said, with all these attorneys, I said, we have 33,000. And I said, I cannot believe how many. I said, I've been up there representing myself for the past 4.5 years, and I did a better job than these attorneys. And they're like, Your Honor, because I said, well, you know, show me the proof of claim, what have you. And this is just a total, total nightmare. That's all they're very nasty. They don't want to have to answer you because they don't know what they're talking about. And they feel they're above the law. And this is a daggone disgrace, what's going on. And I said, that's that.
Well, thank you for that, Crystal. We appreciate it. I don't see how you keep up with it. And you're pretty amazing.
Well, as I said,
can you hear me?
Yes.
In Virginia?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to share something on that. I'm going to try to summarize it. I've been following a case out in California, in San Diego. And once again, it's, you know, average houses, but because of where they're located, they're worth a fortune. And this woman has been, it started with code enforcement, went after her for various things. And then at one point they alleged substandard housing, and then they finally alleged hoarding. And there really wasn't a cause for hoarding. But we're finding out now that I've been doing some research, and what they're doing is instead of foreclosing on properties, they don't like to do that because it takes too long or whatever, and there's too much to it. But what they're doing is they're appointing these receiverships. And what they do is they go in and they just allege, you know, something, and then they get these receiverships. And once they have the receiverships, it doesn't come under, the receivers do not come under the foreclosure laws. And so there's like no right of rescission. There's no, the cities and the counties, the governments don't have to be concerned with liability. And they can also take the loans and repackage them or something like that and just basically they get more money for the properties that way because it doesn't have the stigma of foreclosures attached to it. But what I wanted to say was, so that seems to be the new game or whatever. And one thing I wanted to say was I see very close parallels between that case and Crystal's case because they're very high-priced properties. And you just have the governments coming up with whatever they can come up with to go after these people. And another thing I see is that they're generally the most vulnerable, like, you know, the older, I think women for the most part, but I'm sure there's men too, and just the very vulnerable people who, what happens is they don't have the resources to fight these fights. And I know she recently, came across some money. She got, you know, $20,000, so she got a lawyer. And, of course, what they're doing is they're just, what they're doing is they're presenting battles that are among themselves and that benefit them and using her money, but yet it doesn't benefit her at all.
Exactly.
So they're basically draining her of money.
Exactly.
And she had a business, and the business, what they did was the judge awarded the business to the brother, and she was left with nothing, and she was left with no means to fight them. So that's another issue of it. It's a bankruptcy type thing. And it's just disgusting. I tried to tell her. She doesn't, you know, she doesn't really get how things are, and it's difficult. She gets angry with me, and it goes back to what the other man was saying, that people don't want to hear it, people don't believe it, you know.
Well, you're absolutely right, because we have this another lady. She's worth $35 million. They sold her business. They sold her business off. I've been working very closely with her, and I told her to stay on this. She's been filing the papers. She's given over close to $500,000 in attorney fees. I said, why on earth, first of all, when they came and kidnapped your mother and stole your business, I said, surely you had some kind of money. And I said, why at that point didn't you sit there and, you know, because you and your mother was tied together and it was her brother that stole all her money, business, and kidnapped her mother because, you know, everything was basically linked to their mother. And so these attorneys, I guess, they're getting they get a trust fund check every year of almost like $900,000. Now she's in destitute, and I said, look, I said, you need to get on disability. You need to get out of this house where you're at because it's totally, it's not really safe for her to be there. I had even taken her in my house because I didn't realize all this was going on, you know, because we had that bad winter one year. And it was so dangerous, and I let her stay here a few days and stuff. And that's when I'm like, well, wait a minute, why didn't you sit there and try to buy a condo? You could have bought a few homes or a few condos and had, you know, your money working for you until you got all this situated. Now you're at rock bottom, you know, and she just runs all these papers, and it's just like, it's overwhelming. I mean, and then another couple, their business was worth over 18 million, and I guess just from attorney fees, they must have acquired almost like I think it was $684,000. I was in the court, and I said, "Oh my God, they paid all this money," and everybody's like, "Well, who is your attorney?" I said, "Jehovah God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, myself." I didn't pay nothing for no attorneys, and I've been representing myself for 4 years. And these people, some of them have been in court for the past 2-3 years, and it was like their attorneys milked them totally dry. You know, so I hear what you're...
Some people are not able to represent. They just don't have enough knowledge, and they're their own worst enemy, you know, sometimes, but...
Well, I had a little bit of knowledge because I worked in that field, but I thank each and every one of you and the calls, you know, because we've learned a lot from each other, and it's just like, what do we have to lose? Not a whole lot of praying.
This is what I was thinking. I heard John on Monday, you know, suggest to you that about posting some of your stuff. And possibly, I can't remember exactly what he said, but possibly having people come in and ask questions and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be an amazing thing, because what's going to happen is this woman could then jump on board and start saying what's happening to her. And then when you have, you know, one person really can't do much, but when you get a consensus or a collection of people that the same thing is happening to, you know, things are bound to change. So that's what I'm thinking, is there would be some real value in something like that happening.
And as a matter of fact, because a few people asked me to, you know, work in the school system, working, you know, and I'm like... You know, as I said, I'm learning just like everybody else. And when things, and I file things, and it's just like today.
Well, my entire case is posted online. Every document, every single document is on there for people to look at. And evil breeds in secrecy. That's what you have, is they're able to do most of this in secrecy, because you said yourself the paper wasn't signed by anyone. You know, this is how they do it. They operate without anybody stepping up to the plate or anybody being culpable or liable. And that's the problem we have, you know. So if you can get that posted, and then other people maybe could join in or something. But I wanted to mention one more thing. She went to her lawyer recently, and she was bringing up the constitutional issues, because there's, you know, there was no due process, all the constitutional office issues, violations. And her attorney told her that basically that the courts favored the cities or the governments. You know, he just outright told her that. And so this is the other problem we have, is that you're doomed from the start, you know, because they're going to side with the cities or the counties or the governments. And it's just unbelievable. you know, that you don't have a chance from the very start. Now, this is in trial court. The problem is there's only been an order issued for the receivership, who came out, took all her personal property, boxed it up, carted it off somewhere, and charged her $97,000. She's got a $97,000 lien against her property. And I believe they did that because they wanted it to go the receivership route instead of the foreclosure route. And so they just alleged all this and proceeded on it. But there's been no final order. So I don't know for sure, but I would guess that it's not a good time to go to federal court if you don't have a final order from, you know, the trial court. She's also in appellate court. It's Ninth Circuit, you know. So,
the form, and it's a very powerful form. I did fax it over to John. I think everybody needs to get a hold of that form, that 1938. Read it. That's what I've been filing, and that's what we're all doing here. I think this is why we're getting out some of the results we're getting. It's the Foreign Act. John, tell him that definitely, because we did the cover sheet, and everybody who you send that letter to, send it to all the attorneys, the courts, the chief attorney, send that out. That is very, very powerful. The address and everything is on there. And you don't have to fill anything out. Whoever you're going to send it to, like when I sent it to the courts, the chief judge, the chief clerk, I sent it to the city, the chief attorney, and at the end always write ETAL on all of them, so they're all, the top people get it, and they have to notify the ones under them. And you send it by, right, BY, the colon, your name, comma, and agent, and that's how we should be signing our names. That has been very helpful and very powerful. If John could post that up, that is one of the forms everybody needs to start working with all around the country.
What is the form? Are you saying Form 1938?
It's 1938. It's the foreign, they're not even registered.
Foreign jurisdiction? Are you talking about foreign jurisdiction?
The paperwork is down. I don't have it upstairs right now. It's downstairs. I did fax those over to John, the four, and then I did the executive order. I just put the front sheet on that. So it's the five sheets, and the attorneys, that all of them have to fill it out, and nobody's filling it out. And that's why I guess they just pushed my whole case. Like, we're not touching it now. Because they have to fill it out and answer it. And we give them 5, 10. And John has, I don't use the computers. So that's why I go out. That's why I'm so dead tired right now. I fax everything I'm doing, I'm faxing it over to him. They scan it. So this way, it's on his website, but it's that 1938. Again, as I said, I don't feel too good, so I can't run downstairs and tell you exactly, you know, but you have my number?
I do not.
All right, I don't know, you can get it on the NLA or whatever, but if you call me,
I can email Jan and ask him to give me the number. I don't know.
Okay, that would be okay, yeah.
You might want to tell him ahead of time it's okay or whatever. My name's Linda.
Okay, Linda. Tell him that,
yeah,
okay.
I call in as Linda in Virginia. I
well,
had
tell,
a code
you could tell him that I said you could give him my cell number, yeah, because he has it. And I'll give you that information or when I go out.
Sorry to, sorry to mess up your plan, but Jan won't be back. He might be available by phone. He might not, but he won't be back until the first week in September or the, after the first week in September.
Okay. You have my number, right?
I think I do.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Oh, let me look.
I've also talked to Mr. Orange in Florida, and you know, he mentioned some of the stuff, but
yeah, because of that, when I go out tomorrow, I can get it. I'll either have it faxed over to you, or because, like, as a matter of fact, I just put it in the mail for some people too.
So is this number that I see on your call in? Is
yeah,
that the correct
give,
number?
Yeah, you can give her that one, yeah. Okay, whenever, yeah,
okay.
Can you text it to her?
Linda, you can call mine.
What's that again?
Well, let me see if I can do that. Yeah, you want to text it to her? You want to text it to her?
I can't text her from that's my house, no. I don't have her number.
Okay. Okay, stand by. You guys go ahead and talk, and I'll try and text it.
Okay. I'll give you my email, phone number. I don't care.
You can do that. All right, but I'm getting ready because I said I have to get up early in the morning, and I got a lot. But, yeah, you can get that and call me early in the morning. Or... Okay. Are you going to call me tonight?
I don't know. Up until what
all right.
Time,
well, otherwise,
what
call me. Call yeah. Just call. You can call me around 7:30 in the morning.
7:30 in the morning.
Around 7, 8. You can call me around then. Because when I get up, you know, I got a lot of running and taking care of, you know, what I got to do.
What are the hours that you take calls normally? Like early in the morning till what time?
Well, people start calling me around, I don't know, 8.
Okay.
And like my brain is going to sleep and I'm tired right now, so.
Yeah.
Okay, but
okay,
I'm going to
well,
call me and give
okay.
you that, and I'll put that in the mail for you. And then, as a matter of fact, you could post it on the website. So I'll send you the whole thing, and because...
I got it.
Okay, all righty.
It came through on a text.
Okay.
So.
Okay, thank you all very
sounds
much.
Good.
All righty. And I'm going to work on that other thing for the media this week, okay? So I will be back in touch with you on that, you know. Because they put it already
on
YouTube.
All right, we'll see you later, Crystal.
Okay, you have a good night. Bye-bye.
It's now an open forum. Anybody else can talk that wants to.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I had to say, too.
Anybody else? You got about 8 minutes. Go ahead and start a conversation.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, hi. Look, I just wanted to let you know that me and some people, we have a little group here in southern New York and New Jersey, and we have started a campaign to go to the to send emails to the Inspector General in New York to demand that they give us the instructions on how to access the grand jury, because, you know, I mean, everything else basically has not worked. I mean, the judges will not allow you access to the grand jury. The prosecutors will not allow you access to the grand jury. But we know that, based on U.S. versus Williams, that we have the right to go to the grand jury. So I just thought I'd give you, let you know what we're trying to do here. And we're trying to start, like, I think the only way to do anything about this is start, like, a Me Too campaign, you know, and hopefully reach critical mass, you know, if all these women who have been sexually harassed, and even, for example, the Catholic Church, the pedophile rings, you know, I think it's having an effect. And I think with all these people who are being screwed in court, that may be a viable plan of action. Any thoughts? Hello?
Yeah, if all these people that are getting screwed took the civics course and the Constitution course, would have critical mass.
I'm sorry, all the people that what?
I agree with that.
If all the people that are getting screwed would take the civics course and the Constitution course, we would have our critical mass. But it's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. We know that, okay? So that's the reason why you got to take people who have been screwed and target the Inspector General and demand that they reveal to us how to gain access to the grand jury. Because,
not
you know,
answer you.
How do you know that?
Well, because if they answer you, then they're going to admit their guilt.
No, they don't have to admit their guilt because nobody ever done it before. Not in a critical mass. I mean, that's the same thing with all this sexual harassment with the Me Too movement. Of course, they basically ignored any woman who came in there until finally it became a critical mass and they couldn't ignore it anymore.
I think it sounds like a good idea and it's worth a try.
Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to try it. We'll see what happens, you know?
Well, National Liberty Alliance has filed, what, 22 papers in the federal court? And
yeah, I know
we've
that.
Heard what, Matt?
Yeah, well, this is a little different.
Yeah. Well, I
because
hope so.
The fact is, you know, we, according to U.S. versus Williams, we are allowed to have access to the grand jury. So why are we not demanding access to the grand jury?
Well, Anthony Scalia told us in 1992 that we the people are the grand jury, that the prosecution has no...
We have a grand jury, we have a courthouse, and the thing about it is that the grand jury shouldn't even be located in the courthouse.
but it's controlled by who?
See, that's why you have to ask for the instructions how to access the grand jury. We don't have to put up with a government prosecutor. If that's what they're going to say, oh, you can only have access to the grand jury, well, forget about it.
I don't think there's a mechanism in place to appoint a grand jury other than these, you know, big deal cases that come up. Is there?
What was the question?
I just said I don't think there's a mechanism in place to appoint a grand jury other than the...
No, that's right. There isn't. So that's why we want to know. What is it, you know?
I believe
well, I think
sheriff.
It's worth a try, but I also think it's what was mentioned that...
There's got to be a procedure in place, okay? Just because they don't reveal it to us and they don't use it doesn't mean it's not there and it can't be enacted.
But they do this ivory tower thing and they don't answer you on...
Well, we're going to find out. If you get enough people, they're going to have to answer. You know, like I said, critical mass. You know, when the first... woman who got sexually harassed in Hollywood went to the prosecutor, she probably got basically ignored. It only happened, they only got all this stuff started coming out when they all started banding together and revealing all this corruption. And that's the only way you're going to do it.
Have you taken the civics course?
How are you going to get critical mass?
That's what I'm saying. If enough people start sending these emails to the Inspector General's office, that's going to cause the critical mass.
Well, the critical mass will be when the people take the education.
That's a pipe dream.
In the civics course.
That's a pipe dream. Because nobody, you're not ever going to get enough people to take that course, you know, to make a difference. You know, people got to start complaining. That's where you got to start it.
Well, what you have to understand, people have to have the knowledge. The power is in the knowledge. So if the people are not going to look at the knowledge that the communists have gone so bent out of their way to remove from the people so they wouldn't have it, wouldn't that be the best place to start to get the knowledge that they don't want you to have? I mean, if you don't understand your rights, how are you going to wield the power of your unalienable right if you don't even know it? If you don't know you're an animal right, and you don't know that you're a spiritual being, and you're not the thing that they created, then how are you going to have any
because
power?
Because you're never going to get enough people who have been aggrieved to take that course.
But you don't need enough people. You need what's called critical mass. I mean, 3% of the population, we say...
Yeah, critical mass, if enough people started complaining, not if enough people start taking the course.
You need 16,000 people. Out of 325
million.
There's
no reason why it didn't work. Currently, you know, they get involved in one or the other and get them interested in the other thing.
One must know the difference in order to make a difference. So
do you think all these women who started the Me Too movement understood the Constitution?
Well, look what they did to the Tea Party. I mean, we had 1.5 million people gathered in Washington, D.C. in 2009, and we got mocked. Not only did we get mocked, but we got shut down by the IRS. And here it is now, they finally acknowledging that they, prevented us from organizing.
Okay, so there's a failure. But the Me Too movement has been a success.
Well, it's a success from the left, right? I mean, anything that goes against the norm is going to move right along. Anything on the social movement is going to move right along. It has to do with liberty. you're not going to hear about it. Not going to happen.
Well, you know, that's fine. I just thought I'd throw it out there if anybody's interested.
Yeah, it's a great idea. File it. File the paper.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, you never know until you try it, you know?
You're right. You know, if you don't take the risk, you're not going to reap the reward.
Right. So, all right, I yield.
Yeah, I'll support you any way I can.
I appreciate it.
Okay, and with that, I think we're going to close it down. It's been about 1 hour. Does anybody want to say any closing comments?
I can just say
I'm going to shut down. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were shutting down. I would just say that if they did that, I would sign up. So that's all I can say.
And what is your name?
Okay.
Linda. Linda in Virginia.
Okay, thanks.
If you can post it somewhere or let people know somehow, you know, where they can go or how they can sign up.
I'll keep that in mind.
Okay. I yield.
All right. We thank everyone for participating tonight. We appreciate your comments and questions, and we hope you have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you later. This concludes the recording.